Welcome to Interactive Church. The topic of the readings for this meeting is In God We Trust. I shall be reading selected passages from the King James Bible and Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. For your reference, the hymn numbers today are 230, 332, and 216. Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Psalms. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. Philippians. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Samuel. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah. His name was Jesse. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. And he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. Matthew. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. We are prone to believe either in more than one supreme ruler, or in some power less than God. Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme. Dost thou love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind? This command includes such, even the surrender of all merely material nation, affection, and worship. This is the El Dorado of Christianity. It involves the science of life and recognizes only the divine control of spirit, in which soul is our master, and material sense and human will have no place. Human will is an animal propensity, no faculty of soul, hence it cannot govern man aright. Willpower is capable of all evil. Willing the sick to recover is not the metaphysical practice of Christian Science, but is sheer animal magnetism. In the legend of the shield, which led to a quarrel between two knights, because each of them could see but one face of it. Both sat beautiful according to their degree, but to mental malpractice, Philip of evil, there is no good aspect, either sylvan or golden. False and self-assertive theories have given sinners the notion that they can create what God cannot, namely, sinful mortals in God's image, thus usurping the name without the nature of the image or reflection of divine mind. But in science it can never be said that man has a mind of his own, distinct from God, the all mind. The belief that one man, as spirit, can control another, as matter, upsets both the individuality and the science of man, for man is image. God controls man, and God is the only spirit. Any other control or attraction of so-called spirit is a mock belief, which ought to be known by its fruit, the repetition of evil. Mortal mind is ignorant of self, for it could never be self-deceived. If mortal mind knew how to be better, it would be better. Since it must believe in something besides itself, it enthrones matter as deity. The human mind has been an idolater from the beginning, having other gods and believing in more than the one mind. A patient under the influence of mortal mind is healed only by removing the influence on him of this mind, by emptying his thought of the false stimulus and reaction of willpower, and filling it with the divine energies of truth. The power of the human will should be exercised only in subordination to truth. Jesus once said of his lessons, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself." John 7:16-17. When the human element in him struggled with the divine, our great teacher said, "Not my will, but thine be done." That is, "Let not the flesh, but the spirit be represented in me." It has been demonstrated to me that life is God, and that the might of omnipotent spirit shares not its strength with matter or with human will. All forms of error support the false conclusions that there is more than one life, that material history is as real and living as spiritual history, that mortal error is as conclusively mental as immortal truth, and that are two separate antagonistic entities and beings, two powers, namely spirit and matter, resulting in a third person, mortal man, who carries out the delusions of sin, sickness, and death. Jesus urged the commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," which may be rendered, "Thou shalt have no belief of life as mortal. Thou shalt not know evil, for there is one life, even God, good." He at last paid no homage to forms of doctrine or to theories of man, but acted and spake as he was moved, not by spirits, but by spirit. Death is not a stepping stone to life, immortality, and bliss. The so-called sinner is a suicide. Sin kills the sinner and will continue to kill him so long as he sins. Evil is self-assertive. It says, "I am a real entity, overmastering good." This falsehood should strip evil of all pretensions. The only power of evil is to destroy itself. It can never destroy one iota of good. Every attempt of evil to destroy good is a failure, and only aids in peremptorily punishing the evildoer. If we concede the same reality to discord as to harmony, discord has as lasting a claim upon us as has harmony. Christian Science reveals truth and love as the motive powers of man. Will, blind, stubborn, and headlong, cooperates with appetite and passion. From this cooperation arises its evil. From this also comes its powerlessness, since all power belongs to God, good. When we realize that there is one mind, the divine law of loving our neighbor as ourselves is unfolded, whereas a belief in many ruling minds hinders man's normal drift towards the one mind, one God, and leads human thought into opposite channels where selfishness reigns. Selfishness tips the beam of human existence towards the side of error, not towards truth. Denial of the oneness of mind throws our weight into the scale not of spirit, God, good, but of matter. The error which says that soul is in body, mind is in matter, and good is in evil, must unsay it and cease from such utterances, else God will continue to be hidden from humanity, and mortals will sin without knowing that they are sinning, will lean on matter instead of spirit, stumble with lameness, drop with drunkenness, consume with disease, all because of their blindness, their false sense concerning God and man. With the fear of believing that there is life in matter, and that sin, sickness, and death are creations of God, be unmasked. When will it be understood that matter has neither intelligence, life, nor sensation, and that the opposite belief is the prolific source of all suffering? God created all through mind and made all perfect and eternal. The world would collapse without mind, without the intelligence which holds the winds in its grasp. Neither organic inaction nor overaction is beyond God's control. Mind, supreme over all its formations and governing them all, is the central sun of its own systems of ideas, the life and light of all its own vast creation. And man is tributary to divine mind. Befogged in error, the error of believing that matter can be intelligent for good or evil, we can catch clear glimpses of God only as the mists disperse, or as they melt into such thinness that we perceive the divine image in some word or deed, which indicates the true idea, the supremacy and reality of good, the nothingness and unreality of evil. When we fully understand our relation to the divine, we can have no other mind but his, no other love, wisdom, or truth, no other sense of life, and no consciousness of the existence of matter or error. Neither philosophy nor skepticism can hinder the march of the science, which reveals the supremacy of mind. As human thought changes from one stage to another of conscious pain and painlessness, sorrow and joy, from fear to hope, and from faith to understanding, the visible manifestation will at last be man governed by soul, not by material sense. Reflecting God's government, man is self-governed. In Hebrew, Greek, Latin, and English, faith and the words corresponding thereto have these two definitions: trustfulness and trustworthiness.
One kind of faith trusts one's welfare to others. Another kind of faith understands divine love and how to work out one's own salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, expresses the helplessness of a blind faith, whereas the injunction, believe, and thou shalt be saved, demands self-reliant trustworthiness, which includes spiritual understanding and confides all to God. Definition from the glossary. Salvation. Life, truth, and love understood and demonstrated as supreme over all. Sin, sickness, and death destroyed. Ask yourself, am I living the life that approaches the supreme good? This concludes the readings.